to skirt the tax laws, but we did have the bills going to the same location for the two different LLCs. And so
so the one is my son-in-law's property, and so I'm not the sole owner of that. I'm the sole owner of the one that we're talking about today. And actually the reason that I was appealing was because I had two properties. One was in Branson Canyon, and that one was the one that was getting relief on the 75% to 25% ratio of commercial to residential. And so I sold that property January the 2nd. And so I just had one property.
Okay. Are you also an owner of the other property?
Yeah, but I'm a partial owner. I don't. I mean, I'm not the owner. This property that I'm talking about, I'm the owner.
Okay. The problem we're having is it's still a commercial venture, whatever your interest in the other one is. I mean, we're still dealing with commercial venture when you have more than one ownership in a property. So that's why, and I know we've had the argument before, well, what about the new people that, you know, why should they have theirs 100% commercial when we have joint ownership? Part of our problem is, though, is that we could have somebody that just goes through and owns 25% of 25 different LLCs to make this a business.
We could, but that's not the case here.
No, I get it. I don't think you're doing anything intentionally. Don't get me wrong, Mike. I'm just talking through with you our logic in how we're looking at this from a standpoint of taxation and whether or not we would give that mixed use on a property that has more than one owner and they also own in another property. That's
so you were doing that underneath this LLC, the DJ JJEP property. So I'm not asking you to do anything different than what you were already doing. I no longer have that property. You were giving me relief on that property. I'm just asking for relief on the other property now.
Right, but what's concerning, however, is that you have an ownership in the other one, which we already gave the discount to. So, in other words, you have ownership in another property, so you're getting income off of two different LLCs for a nightly rental program.
I'm not getting income off of that one at all, because it's pathetic, to be honest with you.
These are both
small properties.
I wish we could consider the economics on these, because there's been a lot of people complaining because the market's saturated, but we can't. We have no way to do that. We just have to look at whether or not they're a common ownership. So that's of concern.
So I'm not appealing that part of it. The thing is that I'm just asking to stay consistent, and that is that I had.
Let me explain this better. I don't have a problem. I don't think we as a board have a problem with what you're saying. You sold one and you're trying to get it on this one that you own, which we could do, but we may have to go back and revisit the one that we already did, which you have ownership in with the other person, is what I'm saying to you, because you're getting income off of two different things, and that kind of is the purpose of the decision that we made, is so that if it's a business enterprise and there's more than one, we give it on one property. So
I think what you have to look at, though, as well, my argument would be that I have an LLC underneath my name only. That other LLC is under my son-in-law's name, and it's under his name because he has ownership in it. I have total ownership in this other LLC that I'm talking about now. It's mine. I don't share it with anyone. So I want relief on the one that I own in totality.
So does he want to take it off the other one?
Yeah. So, I mean, we may have to revisit the other one, given the fact that you have ownership in that one, is my concern. And so, I mean, I don't think the board has a problem with what you're asking for here on this property had we not also already done this on another one, which you have ownership in as well. And so that's what my concern is that we may have to go back and revisit that other property. We've had this issue come up. Go ahead.
I guess I could release the ownership on that property on paper, because I tell you, the assessment that we got was 157% increase on the property, on the one that you're talking about. And it's like,
well, if the classification is changed, obviously that goes down, because then it's 75% residential. So that's why it goes up so much, because she puts it as 100% commercial, and that's a higher tax rate. That's why the percentage goes up.
And you have to know that it's not 100% commercial. I mean, we rented 75 nights last year.
I wish I could, you know, we have so many people that make the argument about economics that we have, you know, we can't make a decision on whether people decide to put their place in a nightly rental program or not. If you're talking about giving up your interest in the other to avoid that classification, we can't force you as a board to do anything like that. I mean, it's your business, so you decide what you want to do. But if you're not an owner of the other one, then we can make a decision. The assessor would like to say something.
First of all, on these assessments, if it's commercial, your criteria is what it was on January 1st. So if he's the partial owner on January 1st, that's the way it is. And it won't change until he changes ownership on the next January 1st. That's the way the law reads in the statutes.
I understand.
The second thing, yesterday's with DJ Properties, that did go up a lot, but that was brand new, 2024. So I'm looking at, on the appraisal, it says it was built in 24, so it just came online. That's why it went up higher.
Oh, okay. So it went from
land,
pre-construction,
correct,
value to,
yes,
fully constructed value.
Correct.
Okay, so that's the reason why. Gotcha.
Well, I mean, it was constructed last year, so.
Right.
But it didn't get
assessed. Last year's not an assessment year. 23 is an assessment. In other words, every other year is an assessment year. So that's the reason it stays the same.
Unless it's new construction.
Huh?
Unless it's new construction.
If it hadn't been started yet.
If it's new construction, we can add it on. If it's residential,
right,
we can do it a partial.
Gotcha.
But if it's commercial, we add it on at the first of the following year.
Did you hear that?
This year.
I'm not sure I understood it.
She indicated that if it's new, even if it's not an assessment year, if it's new construction, then they can assess it for a value. So if it's new construction. But in other words, it's not an existing structure that they go through and reassess. Those are done every 2 years.
So how are you coming up with your numbers on that property? I mean, because you have to, I mean, I... You've got to have people pounding your door in Rourke Creek, because we all opened up at the same time.
Right. They get their information, I think, a lot of it from the developer, but I'll let her address that.
I'm curious, which property are we talking about?
I think it's the one that's on appeal here,
the DJJJEP?
The new one that came
online.
He's
talking about the other one, DJDJ.
Okay, DJDJ. Again, that's new construction. The guys went out.
Okay.
And then they just put them on for the new year, so.
But I think what he was asking is how do they value those?
We use the cost approach. It's called Honeycutt. If you have insurance, homeowners or business insurance, the insurance companies use Marshall and Swift. They didn't want to use that around here because it's much higher and more accurate. Honeycutt is a program that was put together by the state of Missouri in the 1980s. They sold it, but they allow counties to still use it, so that's why assessments are so low compared to the rest of the world or what you're seeing on the MLS. But it's just a point system that we're using. So It's misleading when you see a dollar sign next to an appraisal or an assessed amount for our assessor office or anyone who uses Honeycutt. Those are really points.
I want to make a motion.
And those points go to be the assessed amount, which is multiplied by the levy. So really it's just your percentage in as a piece of the pie of what you owe.
We have it on another one
for those levies
that we have to discuss.
Okay.
Have you looked at
Have
you looked at Beacon? And if you put your property in Beacon, you can see at the bottom when you bring up your own property, there's a blue button that says PRC card. We show our sketches now, we show our measurements, and we welcome you correcting us.
Isn't Beacon a paid service?
Pardon?
Isn't Beacon a paid service?
I don't think so.
No, it's not. He can get on it.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He can get on it.
Okay.
Public record.
Did you understand that? You can get on Beacon.
And what does that do? Does that give me the, because I didn't hear everything you said.
Okay.
Does that give me the math of how to figure things out? Is that what you're telling me?
What that gives you, okay.
Tell me if you can hear her.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. So what we've done with Beacon, and, you know, because we have 50,000 parcels in the county, and quite frankly, they've not always been assessed correctly over the decades. So we have made available to you through Beacon, and if you go to the assessor website at taneycounty.org/assessor, you will see a button that says GIS. It's a gray button. Push on that. And it will take you to where you can look up your property. It will also show you maps, and you can look at your neighbors. At the bottom of your report screen, there's a box that says PRC Property Record Card. That shows our sketch with all the measurements. That's how you get valued with our system. And to the left of that, it tells you what we put into your sketch. So it'll say, like, how many bathrooms, how many, if we put your electrical in there, if we put your plumbing, how we value your plumbing, if it's average or excellent or poor. And those are things that we hope will help the taxpayer to feel like they're being dealt with fairly, but also it helps the assessor's office. If you see a mistake or anomalies, that should make it so that you have something to bring with you to the BOE to show a problem if you haven't been able to resolve it with us. Another thing that we are opening up here, hopefully in the next week or so, is you should be able to, on the left side of the Beacon map of your property, you should be able to open up assessment layers, which will, you can click that box and look at your price per square foot versus your neighbor. And if you're in a condo complex or whatever, you should see whether you're completely out of line from anybody else or price per square foot for your land or land value.
Yeah, okay. I certainly know how to kind of maneuver around inside of those sites, so that's helpful.
Okay, well, I think what we're going to do today as far as that goes, on the valuation, I think hopefully you can get the information that you're seeking on that. With respect to your issue, we've had this come up on something else as well, where we have a partial ownership in another LLC, and we're going to make a motion to table this particular one because we need to figure out how we're going to handle this particular issue. And so 7:15, is that okay for that date to table this one?
Yes.
All right. All right. Would you be available on 7:15 by chance?
Yeah. Let me check my schedule here real quick. Yeah, I'm available on 7:15. Yeah, I should be fine.
Okay. It would be any time in that afternoon that we might call. Okay?
Okay. Yep.
All right. As to BOE 111, I would make a motion that we table until July 15th.
Second.
I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion passes. All right. We'll talk to you again on that afternoon, but we need to deal with this issue and figure out a consistent.
Can I just make?
Sure, go ahead.
Can I just make one last appeal?
Right.
And just as you're.